Yaroslav Basak, and good morning to everyone. Amen. Nice to see you folks here. And I would like to introduce our friends Tony and Marge Abram. And we know them for many years, more than 20 years. And I've been in some trips with Tony. And you know, Tony always gets the best beds because he's kind of bigger fellow. We one time had to sleep with the chickens, but he was kind of the best bed. So, but he is deserving. He has traveled and been in many places, many continents. I think he missed one. Yes, see, you're right on. I thought, would you know? Amen. So, Tony is a good minister, a good preacher. His heart is an evangelist. He wants to see the world and people get saved. And, you know, he's also Jew. So don't be surprised if he asks you for air miles. You know, he wants to fly the world and preach the gospel and spend as little money as possible. But because he wants to reach world with his finances. So if you want to bless him, you can do so. He will gladly accept those air miles. So Tony, would you come? I'm not going to take your time because time is flying. Amen. Thank you.
This is the day the Lord hath made, and I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. You love him? Let's give him a big hand. Hallelujah. Well, it is a joy to be here. I pressed it. The light's green. Ready to go. It's been a joy today to meet Pastor Smith and his wife and each and every one of you. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you and I are family because we have the same Father. God is our Father. Amen? Turn around, turn to someone beside you and say, you're part of my family. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Pastor Yaroslav, he introduced us and made contact with Pastor Smith, and that's why we're here. We're supposed to have been here last April, I think, but I had to go and take care of a funeral. Was it June? Whatever. our brother-in-law, my wife's brother-in-law, passed away, and we had to go down to Kelowna to do the funeral. But anyways, it's a joy to be here, to meet you, some of our family. Pastor Yaroslav, he's been my pastor for a number of years. But I remember when he wasn't my pastor, and he's complaining about sleeping with the chickens. I mean, he actually did. He slept with chickens, young ones. They weren't old ones, young chickens. But he's still, to this day, hasn't forgiven me of the bed I slept in. Now, do you know what the bed was? It was in a closet. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was in a closet. And I could hardly get into it. They had a cot in there. And he was jealous of that. You know why? He didn't have any chickens. I didn't have any chickens crawling over me. And I remember when he and the other part of the team came to where I was staying. Here they were, coming in there, covered with feathers. I said, what, did you have a special down pillow or something, you know? Anyways, he's translated for me. I remember him translating Odessa, Ukraine. And, you know, he was younger then, too, 20 years ago. Even I was younger then. And he put his whole heart into it, but he also put his whole voice into it. And then we went to the next meeting later that day. He was talking like this. He lost his voice, but he put his whole heart in it. And we appreciate him and his wife. They've been dear friends of ours. And I still consider him as my pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. we just come back to the to Canada yesterday, flew in. And God has been blessing the ministry. And Marge and I have done missionary evangelism over 50 years in over 125 countries. And we've seen God do many wonderful things, and we give him all the honor and glory. Now, it's not always been easy. Sometimes it's been difficult. We have slept, by the way, in over 4,000 beds. Now that's a lot of beds to sleep in. We have slept in beds before we have slept in water beds before they invented them. You know why they were water beds? The roof leaked, or the children playing on the bed. But Marge has been one over the years that always says, "You're doing it for Jesus. You're doing it for Jesus." And when I get down and I'm Jewish. I'm a Slavic Jew, and I'm prone to complain. You know, I complain. You know, Jewish people, even when you see these things, programs on TV, they have a Jewish person. He's always complaining. Well, I complain. I can't help it. My father complained. I complain. My grandfather complained. Well, but, of course, now I'm a believer, and I'm not supposed to complain all the time. And so Marge, she reminds me of that. And when I start complaining about this or that, the food or the bed or something other, she'll say, "Remember, Tony, you're doing it for Jesus." And then what can I say? But I remember one time we were down in Guatemala. We were holding a citywide crusade in Quisitanango and staying with missionary friends, Brother and Sister Jacobs. And middle of the night, it was dark, when all of a sudden I heard something like, "What was that?" My wife's a heavy sleeper. I'm a light sleeper. Again, I hear, "What was that?" I had a little light. I turned it on, and there, about a meter away on the bed, was a little animal, about the size of a cat. I wish it was a cat. It wasn't a cat. It was a rat. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me with those little red beady eyes, and I knew what he was looking at. He was looking at my kosher Jewish nose, and he was thinking, "I'd like to get a bite of that." Oh, I realized that. I took a swing at him. He jumped. I jumped. Here he's running around the room. I'm chasing him, but Margie, she's sound asleep. This is no exaggeration. We've been in earthquakes. I remember the bed just shaking, about shake us out of bed. She doesn't even wake up. She can sleep. She tells me it's a good conscience. So what can I say? But here I'm chasing this rat around the room. And so I shake her. I said, "Margie, wake up." And she goes, "What?" "Margie, wake up. What do you want?" "Margie, there's a rat in bed with us." And she didn't even open her eyes. She just went, she said, "Remember, Tony, you're doing it for Jesus." So come on up and get my wife a big God bless you, would you? My wife is an Alberta girl. She was born in St. Paul, even though her passport says something else. It says Glendon.
Even a smaller town.
No, give them a special.
Slava Hospodu Brati Sestre.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
Yahovora Davas Pokrainsky.
I'm speaking to you in Ukrainian.
Ime radisni butas vama sehodnerano.
And it's wonderful to be here this morning with you.
Znate vashi pastor Izhena.
It's good to meet your pastor and his wife.
I vasa si.
And all of you.
I dobre bachte nashi pastor, tak samo. Brat Yaroslav Izhena and familia.
And it's good to see brother and sister, pastor and Mrs. Yaroslav and their children.
I Bog je tut z nami.
And we know God is with us.
I bin ljubit nas usi.
And that he loves every one of us.
Jak ve ljubite jeho sehodnerano.
Now if you love the Lord this morning.
Skashit amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Esta mañana mi esposa habla con usted en ucraniano.
This morning my wife was talking to you in Ukrainian.
Ahora yo hablo un poco más en español.
And now I'm speaking a little more in Spanish.
En el mundo hay muchas lenguas.
In the world there are many languages.
Nosotros hablamos algunas lenguas.
And we speak a few.
Pero en el mundo hay mucho más.
But in the world there are many more.
Pero en cielo.
But in heaven.
Hay solamente
there's
uno.
Only one.
un tiempo atrás cuando nosotros en el país de Polonia.
Some time ago when we were in the country of Poland.
Yo dijo esta cosa.
I was talking about this.
Y después un hermano viene a mí.
And after one brother came to me.
Y dice, oh hermano Abraham.
Oh brother Abram.
Oh, es muy bueno.
This is so good.
En cielo.
In heaven.
Todos de nosotros hablamos en Polonia.
All of us are going to speak in Polish.
No sé si es verdad o no.
I don't say this is so or not.
Pero tengo un gran gozo en mi
but
corazón.
I have great joy in my heart.
No hay otro Salvador.
There's no other Savior.
No hay otro
no
Salvador.
Other healer.
Jesus Cristo sin igual
there's
para
no
mí.
One equal to Jesus.
Si usted tiene Cristo en su corazón.
If you have Jesus in your heart.
Ponga su mano arriba.
Raise your hand.
Diga gracias
and
a Dios.
Say praise
ponga
God.
Otra mano. Diga,
raise your
hallelujah.
Other hand and say hallelujah.
Y ponga
hallelujah.
Dos manos
now put your hands together and just praise him. Hallelujah.
Gracias, esposa.
Praise the Lord.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
Dankeschön.
German. Japanese. Praise the Lord. We don't learn all those languages. We learn some of the words like thank you and please and greet you in the love of the Lord in different little sentences. But we greet you with the love of the Lord this morning, and we're so happy to be with you. We miss not being with you back in June, but we're glad to be here. And Tony's going to be ministering, so I just want to sing a song this morning, and it's called Hallowed Be Thy Name. Holy is the name of our God. We were worshiping him, and I just appreciated that worship this
yes,
morning.
Yes, that was
and
very good.
And you folks were worshiping him,
hallelujah.
And I know he was pleased with your worship this morning. But I'd like to sing, Holy is the name of our God this morning. Praise the Lord.
They're only a dollar a piece. Did I say that right? Am I offering that to them? Okay, a dollar a piece for any. You can buy them all. It'd be all right with me. And then also, her CDs. How much are we selling the CDs today? 10, 20? Two for 15. Another great book. And there's about 42 songs on those two, aren't there? Okay, and if you enjoy Marge's singing, you really enjoy that. And then, you know, my books have been translated into many different languages. And more recently, we've had, of course, this one's about 40,000 have been printed in for the Soviet Union, Secrets to Successful Christian Living. But that's not really for sale. That's just demonstrate. No, there's another word for that, isn't there? Illustrate. Yes, thank you, Pastor. Pastors are always good, aren't they? But this one, printed last year. I got to keep thinking. You know, we're in 14 now. Last year. This is Secrets of Successful Christian Living in Armenian. In Armenia, there are very few Christian books. So this one, we believe, is going to be a blessing. We're already hearing it's a blessing, and so that one is a blessing, but we're not selling that either. Illustration. But we're selling my other books. We don't have too many left. Oh, so they got to get there quick. Yeah, you know, I really, you know, this one is worth it just with that picture John Mosbaugh made of me preaching in Holland right there. That's a great picture. I like it. I'm not going to tell how many years ago. But anyways, the books are only a dollar a piece as well. So if you want to see Sister Marge back there at the end of the service, please do so. You know that we're selling these out. That's why they're so cheap. Otherwise, I'd be charging a whole lot more. Now, just before I bring you a message, I got something from our more recent ministry, and we're gonna show it up there on the screen from the key drive. So if you want to put that first one up there, we'll be ready. Okay. And just a little bit of propaganda there about our ministry. I mean, minister in 130 countries, et cetera, et cetera. But go to the next one. And there they are, Tony and Marge Abram preaching to each other. And Tony Risco, he attends our home church, and he is also our associate evangelist for Latin America. Met him back in 1974. We came to Posadas, Argentina, where he was pastoring. The biggest crusade they ever had in the city, about at that time about 150,000 was 200 people. God blessed, poured out His Spirit. I was going to say we filled, but it wasn't us, it was God. The stadium, not the stadium, the amphitheater that seated 12,000, and they couldn't get all the people in. Several wonderful churches were planted. Praise the Lord. He's a good brother. This is last year. This is one of our meetings there in Argentina, souls coming to Christ. Here I am leading in the sinner's prayer. Go ahead, next one. Marge sharing with Anatoly. She of course, she sings in Spanish as well. Precious souls coming. This all last year. Praying for the people. God healing many people last year. This dear 90-year-old sister, because we had such a overflow and they're planting a new church, she gave the land for building the new church. 92 years old. We had a wonderful crusade in this auditorium. These are all people coming to Christ. Preaching not a new religion, but a new life that is found in receiving the Lord Jesus. Coming to Jesus. I love this the best. Winning souls. And then we had about, I don't know how many in a workers' meeting, maybe 100. And they were falling down under the power. They gave me this, looks like one of my prayer shawls, but it's not really a prayer shawl. They gave it to me. They must have thought I was cold, but I was really very warm. You can see it's almost like a poncho. And this is where we planted another church. It was a small hall, seat maybe 200 people, but these are people coming to Christ night after night, praying the sinner's prayer. In this particular town in Argentina, I'm trying to remember the name, never had all the churches come together for anything. This is the first time all the ministers of the town came together to hear me. I spoke to them, and we're getting this auditorium this year for the first crusade in that city, at least a cooperative crusade. So we're believing God for good things. This is taking the gospel to Africa, preaching the gospel in Ukraine. Very interesting here. We had, this was a camp meeting, one-third of the 5,000 that registered were non-believers. We had hundreds of them come to Christ, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to give you the right numbers. I need to look to my notes. But we had something like 1,100, or was it 1,700? I don't want to be evangelistic. But baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can you give God the glory and the praise? Hallelujah. Here we are preaching in one of the large churches in, where is that, Yaroslav? You know that city in the east, Lutz. In Lutz there, we had a wonderful time. Thousands respond to the gospel in Africa. That's where we've had some of our biggest crusades. Ministry to the Chinese. Precious African souls coming to Christ. Here, this fellow, this is interesting. This was in our meeting in, was it Kenya, right? He was crippled. Can you see how high his feet is off the ground? He's leaping for joy. And it was something also interesting. I was pretty close to him here. But I used to have to stand here, and they'd have to stand on the other end of the platform to testify, because if I came near them, I had to bump down, they would go. I don't know why. I brushed my teeth. Next one. Winning souls in Mexico. That's where we were in Mexico. Last month we were in Mexico. I am teaching workers. We actually graduated. These are friends of ours down in Guatemala. They have a three-year Bible college. We graduated 630, I think, at 3 years. Soul winners going all over Latin America. Hallelujah. You know, as I gotten older, I do less crusades. But I had a prophecy at our 25th wedding anniversary. We just celebrated our 51st, but our 25th, that eventually my ministry would change. that we'd be doing less crusades and more discipling, raising up workers. And so I do a lot more teaching, just like with Pastor Yaroslav. We've been over there in Ukraine and Russia. Actually, we've done a lot of things over there, including purchasing 183 buildings for churches all over the former Soviet Union. And here's 184 buildings like this. We buy, they fix it up, and away they go. Is there any more? Yeah. Oh, this one's interesting. This was last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago. We built two churches in prisons in East Africa. Listen, you see the price up there. Pastor, you paid a little more for this building, didn't you? $2,500. Now, grant you, it doesn't have plumbing. It doesn't have those, it's just tin roof bricks they made. But it's right on prison grounds where chaplains can come in and preach the gospel. Is that the last one? Okay. You can shut it off then. All right. Pray for us. This coming year, we're supposed to have ministry in Argentina, Japan, Taiwan. Supposed to be back in the former Soviet Union. I did say Argentina, did I? Okay. Pray for us. We're getting older. Honest. You notice that during the song service, I sit. There's a reason. I can't stand so long anymore. So I kind of rest up, but I'm still praising the Lord there. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another praise offering. Hallelujah. Today, for just a little while, I'd like to share with you something I think is very important for the church, especially as we're entering into this new year. Now, I look across this congregation, and you look like a lovely congregation. If I didn't already have a home church here in Edmonton, I think I'd come here. I enjoyed the praise, the worship, and so far, I've enjoyed your pastor's spirit. There's a nice flow here. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I see a fault here. And the fault maybe is not just you, but this church should be full. And not only this local church, but every local church. My home church here in Edmonton ought to be full. Everyone ought to be full. Now, I know that we have laid the responsibility so often upon the minister. Here's what we do. We pay the minister. We say, all right now, pastor, you win all the souls. You do all the work of the ministry. Now, when I read my Bible, I don't read it that way. I read it more like the church. Together, we are workers together with Christ. And I read that in the church, God has placed a fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the work of the ministry, yes, for the perfecting of the saints, to preach the word of God. But it seems to me that the responsibility falls on the whole church. If Edmonton is ever going to see revival, if Edmonton's going to ever see great growth in the body of Christ, it is going to be because God's people, the family of God, are going to rise up and do what God says to do. Now, I want to just share with you some of the last words of Jesus there before he went away. And I think there are probably no doubt the most important words that he gave the church, that he gave anyone, gave us. And of course, one you're so familiar with is Acts 1 and 8. He's about to go away, but he's visiting the church. He's telling those believers, and by the way, there's only one church. You know, we like to talk about the early church, the middle church, the Latter-day Church. There's only one church. Part of it's in heaven, part of it's here on earth, but there's only one church. And so he was speaking actually to the church. And here's what he says in the eighth verse when he was gathering. He said unto them, you shall receive power. Well, what kind of power? Well, let's look what this power is going to do. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, testimonies, hope givers to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, here's what he said to the church. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. This is the duty of the whole church, not just your pastor. It's not his duty to fill this church. It's your duty. You to be a soul winner. And so here he says, you shall receive power. Now, what kind of power is this? Well, if you turn over to Matthew, the 28th chapter of Matthew, and if you read in the 18th verse, in the harmony of the Gospels. By the way, to understand the last words of Jesus and the commission of Jesus and the work of God, you need to read all the Gospels and the book of Acts. And there's harmony between them. And when you get it all, then you get to understand. But here he says in the 18th verse, all Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Ye shall receive power. What kind of power was he talking about? He was talking about his power. Because when Jesus received all power in heaven and earth, what did he do with it? Did he take it back to heaven with him? Did he put it in a bank? Did he put it on a shelf? No, he said to the church, he said to you and I, behold, I'm going to give you the power. What kind of power? Well, Jesus said, all power. Well, you can't have more power than all power. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Now, there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing impossible. We put limits on God. We say, God, you can only go this far with my faith, and that's it. But there's nothing. He has all power in heaven and in earth, and he gives that power to the church. He gives it to you and I. To what? To be witnesses. To be testimonies, to be hope givers, to win the lost to Christ. Hallelujah. All power in heaven and in earth. Now, sometimes myself, I get surprised. I think, Lord, you've done everything. I've seen you do so much. And then he comes along and surprises me. I remember in Argentina, we were in Catriel. Thank you, dear. In Catriel, Argentina, in the auditorium was packed. It was wintertime there, summer here, winter there. But it was packed. People were in the vestibule, people standing out on the street that couldn't get in. We had a little speaker outside. And the city hall was packed. And that night I preached the gospel. And as I was preaching, I could feel this anointing coming down. And I remember I gave the invitation to receive Christ. Well, there was hardly any room, but people were trying to push forward to receive Christ, about 200 people that night. And among them was two blind men. And they had cataracts. And as they were coming forward, the cataracts melted and fell off their eyes. They shouted, I can see, I can see. Hallelujah. And I thought, well, I've seen God do that before. So I wasn't too surprised. But then the Holy Spirit began to fall. People were being healed all over. We were getting testimonies. And at the end, Pastor Reuben, he brought four people to the front who were deaf in their ear. And God had opened their ear. And they quickly, we tested them. They were, and I said, well, come back tomorrow. Everybody come back. Bring someone with you. Don't know where we put them, but of course I invite them anyways. And so we went home. And any place I stay more than 3 nights, it's home. And so next morning, early in the morning, here's this knock on the door. A frantic knock. And I go to the door, and here's Pastor Reuben. And he looks at me, and he says, Brother Tony, do you know what happened? Do you know what happened last night? I said, well, we had a wonderful service. He said, but do you know what really happened? I said, well, I don't know. What do you want to tell me? He said, you remember when those four people that were deaf received healing, were testifying? I said, yes. Well, do you know what happened? I said, you tell me, I'll know. He said, at that moment, every deaf person in that place, every deaf person in a vestibule, every deaf person on the street, their ears popped open. I said, wow, that's power. That's God's power. Amen? Like I was in Pakistan, and we had at least 20,000 people there sitting on the ground under the biggest tent I ever preached in. And I saw something coming down on the people, and I thought at first the tent was on fire, but it wasn't on fire. Then I thought dust was coming up from the ground, but there was green grass. How could it be? How could that be? And then the Lord spoke. He said, it's my glory cloud. Tell the people, I'm about to do something special. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I spoke that in faith. That night, there was about 2,000 Muslims respond to receive Christ. That's the greatest miracle. But then that night, that power came down all over that crowd, and more than 1,000 people were healed instantaneous. Blind, crippled people they carried to the meeting, get up walking. Power. But you see, friends, we're just tapping into it a little bit. Jesus said, all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you can't have more power than all power. He has all power. And what did he do? A little later, he tells the church, you'll receive power. What power? His power. He's not giving you no second class power. In the kingdom of God, there are no second class citizens. Hallelujah. He said, ye shall receive power, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, everywhere. It's not just going to work in one particular place. It's going to work everywhere. It'll work with you in your school. It'll work with you at your job. It'll work with you in your home. It'll work with you in your church. All power. Now, what are some of the manifestations of this power? Well, if you turn with me, I had it marked. I do have it marked. Over to the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. He's on Mount Olives. He's about to go to the Father. He's about to leave. And he's gathered there with what I would consider the beginning of the church. And they're gathered around him, and he's about to preach to him. A little thought came to my mind about 7 years ago. I was in Jerusalem. I was on Mount Olives. We had taken a big group of pastors, wives, and Christians from Japan. They all, because we'd had a lot of ministry planted churches in Japan, and they says, we're not going to Jerusalem, going to Israel unless you take us. We want a Jew to take us. And like I know what they know over there, you know. Anyways, here we are on the mount. Small amphitheater. All our folks are there, but other groups gathered. And I'm preaching. And you know what I'm preaching from? Mark 16. where Jesus preached his last sermon. And I, as I was preaching, I could look over and I could see the city of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What a beautiful city. And I thought, my, this is where Jesus preached. And then, you know, if you're going to get any anointing, you're going to get it then. And I preached on Mark 16, and I read the same words of Jesus. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this word preach, I've got to pause here, because in our training schools and so forth, I bring this out. This word preach has more than one meaning. You and I think that, oh, pastor preaches. Tony Abrams up here trying to preach. Talking. Well, it is. That's part of it. Telling. That's part of it. But it has a threefold meaning. Not only does it mean to tell, to declare, which I'm trying to do right now, but it has two other meanings. And the second meaning is it means to manifest. Manifest. Well, how do we manifest? Well, we're going to see in a moment. Another word. It means to demonstrate. Oh, I should back that word manifest up. It manifest also means to live. If you're going to manifest something, you got to live it. And if you're going to live it, you can manifest it. And then it means to demonstrate. Well, how do we see living and demonstrating? Well, you got to read on the words of Jesus. And you probably know this as well as I do, the Great Commission. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, or these manifestations, or these demonstrations will follow those who, what? How many believe? Can I see your hand if you believe? Say, I'm a believer. Turn to someone and say, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. This is Jesus speaking to me. These signs shall follow. And here I got a little line dashed over inside of my Bible, underlined belief, and I put the word be, me, me. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow me, me. And Jesus goes on and says, and in my name, you'll cast out demons. You'll speak with new tongues. Oh, I like that. These are manifestation, demonstrations. Jesus said you'll receive power. You'll take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Now, that don't mean you go around handling snakes and drinking poison. I'll tell you what. You know, there are churches, they call themselves churches, they handle snakes. Down in West Virginia, in that part of the world. But I want to tell you what, Pastor, someone came in here, threw a box of snakes down here, I tell you what you'd see. You'd see a pair of black trousers heading out that door. Don't stop those trousers because I'd be in them. No, I wouldn't fool with it. And yet, I know how God has spared me. One time, I remember down in Panama, we were going up towards the headhunting tribes, and we was in the water, a small boat, and we got to a place where it was shallow, and the biggest one had to get out and help push, and you know who that was, it was me. So I got out, and me and one other brother was pushing the small boat over the shallow water, someone shouted, look out! There's a snake, a poisonous snake. Get in the boat. Well, it didn't take me long to get in the boat, but I did, but something struck me on the ankle. You could see where the fang marks went in. And it started to thump, and it started to swell. And we're at least a day's travel, if not more, to a doctor, but not that far to Dr. Jesus. And the devil says, you're going to die here. And I said, devil, you're a liar. And the verse came to me, if you pick up any deadly thing. I laid my hand on that, on my foot, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe. I believe the word of God. And you can believe it or not, I felt someone like touch me on my head, like warm oil pour over me, went down my left leg, right to that spot. The pain quit. The burning quit. The hurting quit. And I was healed at that moment. And I never went to the doctor. I went to Dr. Jesus. And he took care of it. Now, we don't tempt God. Listen to what he says. These signs shall follow them, I believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall lay hand, take. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not maybe, could be. Who's going to do this? Believers. You don't have to get Oral Roberts or Ken Copeland or Benny Hinn to do that. Well, they can probably do it. If they're believers, well, Oral Roberts can't do it now. He's with the Lord, but those that are alive, you can name some of them preachers. Yeah, they can lay hands on you and you can get healed. It's not because they're a preacher. It's not because they're a minister. It's because they are a believer. You see these hands? I used to say to folks, there's no healing in these hands. There's no healing here. And one day I was doing that, and the Lord said, look at your hands. I looked at him again, and the Lord said, your hands are special. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, they're believers' hands. Take a look at your hands. They're believers' hands. Say, I have believers' hands. I'm a believer. Now put them together, and let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. So he said, these signs will follow them and believe. Well, do you have to be saved a long time? Have to learn a lot? No, he said, he that believes. Sometimes we're worried about demons. They're having power over you. They don't have no power over you, only what you give them. The newborn believer has power over the devil because they called on the name of Jesus and saved them, and if they'll use it against demons, they got to go too. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more illustration. Jesus gave a lot of illustrations. I go back on testimonies I've seen the Lord do. But we were preaching down in Chile, South America, and down in Osorno, pretty far in the south of Chile. And God was moving, and there was a woman who came to Christ, Catholic woman, surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus. But she hadn't even been going to Catholic church either. But she came. And the Lord healed her of a tumor or a growth on her side. And then she was so excited, she went out to the country, told her family about it. She became a witness to them. And then she came back. And God filled her with the Holy Spirit. Well, give and it's given to you. And then she grabbed me one day. They were taking me off the platform over to the car that was waiting. And she grabbed a hold of me and said, Hermano Abraham, Brother Abram, I have to tell you something. I said, what is it? She said, and then she told all that happened and how she went to the country, told her folks. And she said, but I know, Brother Tony, if you'll come and pray for my father, God will heal him. And I looked at her. I said, what's wrong with him? He's been bedridden 15 years except when we help him up. And I looked at her, and she had her Bible under her arm she had gotten. I said, do you believe that? She said, yes. Do you believe what it says? Oh, yes, I believe with all my heart. And I said, give it here. I opened to Mark 16. These signs will follow them who believe. I said, do you believe? Oh, I believe with all my heart. And I said, you don't need me. You can pray for him. Oh, I can't pray for him. Listen what it says. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Does that say that? Yes. She took her Bible back, read it once, twice, turned and walked off. Well, we heard from the testimony later what happened. Next day, off into the country she came, into her father's home, came in, said, Papa, good news. What's that, daughter? Today, Jesus is going to heal you and you're going to walk on your own. How can that be, daughter? 15 years I've been like this. She said, Jesus said you're going to be healed. How? So she read Mark 16. She said, Papa, are you a believer? Yes. Well, Papa, I'm a believer. Okay. I'm going to do what Jesus said. Well, she didn't know any orthodox way of laying on hands. Kind of put her hands like this on him. And she prayed a simple prayer. Said, Father, we believe the words of Jesus, and I lay my hands on Papa in the name of Jesus Christ. And when she said Jesus Christ, the power of God hit her father like a bolt of lightning, and he jerked. And all of a sudden, his hands go up in the air, and he started praising God in a new language as God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. And then he got up, and he walked alone for the first time in 15 years. Well, that whole family today is saved, spirit-filled, members of a local church serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Jesus said you'll receive power. Now, don't let the devil ever limit you on what you think you can do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. If it's in the book, it'll work. Now, let me close with just reading this. Ye shall receive power, right? Well, let me just read you. This is on my website. By the way, if you ever want to go to our website, see some of our newsletters and sermon outlines and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera on there. Even some of Marge's songs you can get on there. Don't want to tell you too much about that, then you won't buy the CDs. But anyways, website's easy, www.tonyabram.com. One word, Tony Abram, all small letters. But this is what Jesus means to me. He is God, he is first and last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation, the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and manager of all times. He always was, always is, and always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised, he brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world cannot understand him. The armies cannot defeat him. The schools cannot explain him. The leaders cannot ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. And the people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. And Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. And Oprah can't explain him away. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness in God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. His mind is on me. He's my Savior. He's my guide, and he's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord, and he rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love. His burden is light. His gold for me is abundant life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders, the overseers of the overcomers, and is to come. And if that seems impressive to you, try this for size. His gold is a relationship with me. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me, never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, every way. He is everything for he is everything for everybody. I want you to get that. Everywhere, every time, every way. He is my God. He is faithful. I am his. He is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand it. Understand this. He said it, and that settles it. God is in control. I'm on his side. And that means all is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing with God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me, if you will. Hallelujah. Close your eyes for a moment. I've had you repeat a few things here today, like, I'm a believer. I'm part of the family of God. But you're all these other things I read too. You can be, if you're not, an overcomer. You can have victory in your life. You can have all power in heaven and earth. You don't have to be defeated. Hallelujah. While our eyes are closed for a moment, if you need special prayer, you don't have victory in your life, if you're not saved, or you're backslidden, or you need some victory in your life, I'm going to ask you to come forward before we pray. And we'll have special prayer with you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. And the Lord would give you a word, my children. The Lord would say, be of good courage, be strong, for I have brought you to this place, not for you to just stand still, not to just tread water, but that you may walk into the deep, and let the deep things of God might overflood you. For I have a plan for you, I have a plan for this place, that this place will be filled not only with people, but with my glory and my power and my word and my spirit, saith the Lord. For I have called you to be overcomers. I have called you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. So rejoice, my children, for you are precious in my sight, and you are precious because you are in my hand, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Pastor.
Bless his name. Why don't you show Pastor Tony some appreciation? And just before you go, if anything that he said spoke to you, I want to take a love offering for him. He did not come here with asking for anything, but I want to bless him. And if you didn't bring your checkbook or if you don't have cash, there is a debit machine in the back. Just indicate special on the envelope. We'll make sure it gets to him. But why don't you just, if you feel so inclined, whatever you have, what God has put on your heart, just bring it here and just lay it at the altar. We'll make sure we get it to him if you feel so inclined to bless him today. In this regard, we'd encourage you to participate. And after we've done that, then you will be dismissed. And God bless you. Enjoy some fellowship and with your brothers and sisters. And we'll see you on Tuesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. Excellent. All right. That's good. Excellent. That's all right. Just be a blessing.